You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Rav Soloveitchik analyzed the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. The Gemara in Shabbos, unlike other mitzvahs, who usually state the mitzvah and its regular format, and then tells us that if you want to embellish the mitzvah, you should basically make it with much more expensive materials and a much more beautiful fashion, get a better lulav and esrog, a more quality sukkah, get a better sofer to write a magnificent Sefer Torah for you. That's the embellishment. But even if you didn't get better materials and you use the regular average materials, the mitzvah can be done. So there, the hidden mitzvah is an extrinsic and outside phenomenon you're doing when it comes to upgrading the mitzvah on a much higher level of fulfillment, because you're using better materials or human beings in the actual orchestration of this mitzvah. When it comes, however, to the Yom Tov of Chanukah, we don't find that that's what Chazal did. What Chazal did is they gave you three ways to observe the Yom Tov of Chanukah, which comes the lighting the Neros. The most basic is Ner Ish Ubeso, one candle per family, no matter how many people are in this family, per night. So even if you have 10 people in the family, every night of Chanukah, you can light only one candle. That's the basic mitzvah. That's all you got to do. If you want to be Mahadrin, embellish the mitzvah, what you're going to do is, each and every night, in the eight nights, let's say you have 10 people in the audience, each night you're going to light a candle per person, which means the first night is 10, if there are 10 people, second night 10, even day 8 is 10. That is, we are basically having a candle correspond to each person in the audience in that specific household. The third, which is called the Mahadrim in the Mahadrim, the way the Gemara portrays it, and we use Beis Hillel's opinion, in contrast to Beis Shammai, is that the first night you'll light one candle, and the second night you'll light two candles. By the time you get to night eight, you'll light eight candles. And from the simple interpretation of the Gemara, it would appear, according to this approach, no matter how many people you have in the audience, it's still the same amount. First night one, the second night two, third night three, the eighth night eight, and the amount of people in the audience is ignored. It's just most of a holach each day to show how the miracle became more intense each and every day. You add an extra candle, building up from one all the way to eight. That's how you read the Gemara. However, when you look in the Rambam text, where the Rambam describes the observance of Ner Chanukah, I'm going to read to you now the text of the Rambam, how he describes it. And you're going to see very shortly that the Rambam had a unique way of interpreting this Gemara, which we're going to be analyzing today because of the unique Chiddush my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik wanted to share to us with his approach to understanding the Rambam text in the Rambam's explanation of what the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is all about. The Rambam in the fourth chapter, dealing with the halachas of Chanukah, says, how many candles do we light on Chanukah? So he says that he basically gives the Gemara's format. The basic is one candle per family per night. So each night's one candle. If you want a mahadra the mitzvah, you light each and every night the amount of candles corresponding to the people that are in the household being yotz. As I mentioned before, 10 people will have 10 candles each night. Okay. And finally, when it comes to mahadra yosa alzeh, you want to do mahadra, which Rama says mahadra yosa alzeh asamitzim and amuvchar. What you're going to do is, the first night, you're going to have a candle for each and every one of the 10 people that are in attendance in your household. Each night, you're going to add an extra candle. So the first night, you'll say you have 10 people, have 10 candles lit. The second night, 20 candles lit. By the time you get to the eighth night, you're going to have, ultimately speaking, 80 candles lit. And the Rambam explains to you how this, in fact, technically works. He gives you the following example. That if the Anshei Bayis were Asara, the first night you're going to light 10 candles, the second night 20 candles, the third night 30 candles, on the eighth night you're going to light 80 candles. So according to the Rambam over here, the Rambam claims that the Mahadim and the Mahadrin is in fact an actual combination of the Mahadrin and the Mahadrin of Mahadrin working together in a co-joint force. Where the Mahadrin had a candle of the same magnitude for all 8 days corresponding to the people in the household, so we had 10 people. The first night would be 10, the second night 10, the third night 10, which means ultimately speaking, every night's going to be corresponding to the people in the household. The Mahadrin Menahadrin tells us we're not only making candles corresponding to the people in the audience, but we're going to start on the first day, since there are 10 people, to have 10 candles. And day 2, 20 candles. Day 3, 30 candles. Day 5, 50 candles. And day 8, we'll come up to 80 candles. You're therefore combining step 2, the Mahadrin, with the Mahadrin and Mahadrin, and this could end up to having a heck of a lot of candles being lit during the Yom Tov of Chanukah, where each day you're most of a holich, each day you add an extra candle for each and every person in the household, and that's how you have the aggregate of 80 for 10 people starting on day 1, continuing 10 people to day 8. 80 will be the amount you light on day 8, even though you started with only 10 candles on day number 1. This is what the Rambam calls Mosef HaHolech, following the Mahalich of the Shita of no other than the Rambam, and the way he interprets the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos. What's also interesting to note is that according to the Rambam's version, each person did not light their own menorah, but you basically had one person, the Baal HaBayis, lighting the candles on behalf of all those assembled. So he's going to be lighting the first night himself on behalf of everybody there. If there are 10 people, 10 candles. And the second night, he'll be lighting 20 candles on behalf of everybody, which is unique and distinct and something the Rambam mentions, which we don't really find in other sources when it comes to the application of Mahadrin Mahadrin above the Mahadrin in the actual performance of this. I'll get back to that a little later on. So the question is, what is the Rambam teaching us when it comes to lighting of the menorah of Chanukah? What unique phenomenon is he teaching us when it comes to the performance of this specific mitzvah? So our Soloveitchik says, where in all of the mitzvahs, as I mentioned before, we derive hiddur mitzvah from the pasuk Zakeli Vanveyu, the pasuk in Az Yashir, where the Gemara says in Shabbos, Hesnoi lefai by mitzvahs, make the mitzvahs as beautified as you possibly can before me when it comes to doing these mitzvahs as a hiddur mitzvah. Where b'chol haTorah kula, this is an extrinsic phenomenon, something from outside we'd add on to make the mitzvah more beautiful. And if you didn't add it on, it wouldn't diminish from the mitzvah's actual performance. Rav Soloveitchik was of the opinion, as I'm now going to explain, that the way he describes the Mahadrin and Mahadrim and the Mahadrin, this is no extrinsic factor, but this is in fact an intrinsic factor in how Chazal orchestrated the actual performance of the Mitzvah of Chanukah on the night of Chanukah. And when we understand what this intrinsic factor is, you'll understand that this mitzvah is different than any other mitzvah, both biblically and rabbinical, when it comes to its performance. What do I mean by this? Rav Soloveitchik said, when we are adding extra candles, whether it's an extra candle per person, and an additional candle every night of the 8 nights, as you go from 1 all the way up to 8, the addition of these additional candles is not some extra outside hiddur mitzvah you're adding on, but every candle you add based upon corresponding to the people in the household and corresponding to each day of the miracle, the nest became bigger, and therefore more candles are lit each and every day to show that each and every day the miracle became more intense. Rav Soloveitchik said all of these candles, when they're lit, are manifestations that all of the Ner Chanukah being lit during Chanukah are of equal value. They all represent the chefs, the entity of Ner Chanukah in all its ramifications. It's one big corporate mitzvah being done in a mehudadik way, but the hiddur is not outside being getting on. The way you do mahadran is intrinsically to make the mitzvah and the object of the mitzvah a bigger mitzvah, a more enhanced mitzvah, but it's part of the actual physical entity of Ner Chanukah that's not just added on from outside, but it becomes the way the mitzvah is done in its intrinsic form from the very beginning, from day one, all the way to day number 8. The Rambam, as he is quoting the actual Lashon of the Gemara, by the way the Rambam quotes it, he says very beautifully, Mitzvah Ner Chanukah Chaviva Mo, the Mitzvah Ner Chanukah has become very beloved in the eyes of the Jews. Tzarech Adam Lizar Bar, a person has to be very careful when you're performing the Mitzvah Ner Chanukah, Kedei Lahodiya Hanes, because when you light the Ner Chanukah, you're basically telling publicly that the miracle took place, and lighting the Ner therefore demonstrates the ramifications of the increased light because of the more candles you're lighting. Furthermore, Ner Chanukah, Lahosev B'Shevech HaKel, we're giving greater praise to Hashem as we're lighting these magnificent candles and so many candles at the same time. V'Hodaya, and we're giving Hoda, praise to Hashem and thankfulness to Hashem for all the miracles that took place for us during the Chanukah Yom Tov and the Chalukah holiday on a historical level. So what's interesting and fascinating, as Rosh Soloveitchik points out, is that when the Gemara quotes the concept of establishing the Yom Tov of Chanukah, the Gemara says you're going to give basically Hallel to Hashem, praise Hashem, with Shvachos in the Tefillah of saying Hallel, which we do, the whole Hallel. When it comes to Hodah, Rashi in the Gemara says we give Hodah to Hashem by reciting the miracle of Chanukah in the Al Hanisim. Rav Soloveitchik points out, however, the Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam says where the Hallel might be the format of giving Shevich to Hashem, singing Hashem's praises in a Hallel, the Hodiah, he doesn't mention Al Hanisim, but the actual lighting of the candles is a form of giving Hodiah to Hashem. The lighting of candles, in fact, is even a way being Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu by the mere lighting of the candles themselves. That somehow, according to Rav Soloveitchik, the candles themselves are a separate Shevich to Hashem independent of Hallel. The lighting of the candles are a separate Hodah to Hashem independent of the Al Hanisim. Al Hanisim is surely going to be said because the halachas in every Yom Tov are deraisa de Rabbanan. You have to have included in the Shemoneh Esrei, in the Tefillah, whether it's during the week or on Shabbos, some type of Meim Orah, some type of declaration of what manifestations of a Yom Tov deraisa de Rabbanan are going to be mentioned and brought into the Shemoneh Esrei prayer for this time period when Yom Tov is taking place. That's a halacha you have in Hilchas Tefillah. But when it comes to Chanukah, Soloveitchik points out that what the Rambam was mechadish, that the actual lighting of the candles is not something just lighting candles because the miracle took place with light, but the actual lighting of the candles is a form of giving Shvach to Hashem, praising Hashem, and giving Tahadah to Hashem, independent of our recitation of Hallel, independent of our utterance and saying over the Al Hanisim in the Shemoneh Esrei. So the obvious question, which you have to ask yourself, is the following. Why is it that the Rambam felt that the mitzvah of lighting the Neres of Chanukah has the Hiddur incorporated into the Iker mitzvah and makes it intrinsic rather than having the Hiddur added on from the outside, which normally it's done in other mitzvahs, it's not left for mitzvahs, as an extra factor. But it's extra, it's rather intrinsic. Why did the Rambam feel the hidden mitzvah is unique than if it's a mitzvah? You don't find any place else on a deraisa or derabbanan level, on deraisa mitzvahs or derabbanan mitzvahs. The only mitzvah where hidden mitzvah becomes an intrinsic part of the actual observance of the mitzvah is by Ner Chanukah. What makes Ner Chanukah so special? So now we're coming to one of the most important parts of tonight's discussion. And this is the Chiddush Rav Soloveitchik mentions. He points out that in actuality, the main miracle of this Yom Tov, as I mentioned in the last couple of shurim on the topic, was the Nitzach HaMilchama. And the morale in everybody says, the Ikar Yom Tov of Chanukah, with its recitation of Hallel, and its recitation of Al HaNisim in the Shemoneh Esrei, were really in response to the miracle of the military warfare victory. As we say, if you look very carefully in the Al HaNisim, it only mentions the miracle of the military victory. If that's the case, we asked in the last couple of weeks, so what was the purpose of having the initial miracle of the Pach Shemen having to burn for 8 days miraculously? What's going on over here? And what does it have to do with the Nitzach HaMilchama? So if you remember, I taught you last week, in the name of my dear Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik's grandfather, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik of Brisk, that the mitzvah of the lighting of the menorah and the miracle of what happened over there was orchestrated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to explain to Klal Yisrael, that generation and all future generations, that the military victory was not a brilliant, strategic, miraculous victory of guerrilla warfare where you have tremendous, trained people who know, like special forces, how to conduct a guerrilla warfare against a major army and to win and succeed in defeating them. Don't interpret the mitzvah, the miracle of Ner Chanukah, as being a humanly capable type of Nitzachan. As we've seen in modern history, as the Taliban's beat Russia and then beat America, when it comes to the fight for Afghanistan, fighting a very, very difficult guerrilla warfare against major armies, which they could not deal with it. They couldn't deal with this unbelievable guerrilla warfare. And finally, Russia pulled out and America pulled out. That's not how the Ness of Chanukah took place. I pointed out last week that the Ner Chanukah miracle, as Rav Soloveitchik's grandfather Chaim pointed out, was done in a very miraculous way. Each day, the oil, which was only sufficient for one 24-hour period, it didn't become used up the entire day, but every one of the 8 days, they found miraculously that only 1/8 of the oil was diminished. So that by end of day one, when it came to day two, there was 7/8 of the shemen left. By day three, there were therefore 6/8 of the shemen left. By the time it came to day eight, you had 1/8 of the shemen left. And this shemen, each day the 1/8, lasted for the full 24-hour period, as if you had the full Pach HaShemen in the menorah. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik said, what's the nature of the miracle of the Pach HaShemen? That the eichas, the quality of the oil which Hashem enhanced and made this oil have a burn factor, that made it so efficient that the oil lasted not just 24 hours, but the burning rate was so efficient. Therefore, as a result of that, the rest was left to burn the next day and the next day and the next day. It's the concept of the actual quality of the burning rate of this specific oil which Hashem increased and enhanced that allowed it to overpower the kamas, the minimal amount of oil you had initially to start with. That's the miracle of Pach Shemen, that eichas quality overpowers quantity. The limud, when it comes to the military victory of Chaim, was, is why the Jews won against the actual Seleucid Greeks, even though, as we say in the Alanisim, that these specific enemies we were facing were Giborim, compared to us being Chalashim. They were stronger, more mightier than us. Rabim Yamiatim, a magnificent, gigantic army. We were just a couple of guerrilla fighters. That we were able to do this miraculous thing because the Eichas, the quality of our fighters, which I pointed out last week, are portrayed as being people who are actually Tahorim, people who are Tzadikim, people that Oskei Sarasecha. They were able to overpower, when it comes to the Alanisim, they were able to overpower people who are Temeim, ritually impure, Rishai, people who are wicked, Zedim, who people who want to purposely discredit Torah and destroy Torah and mitzvahs. You had over here a miracle of quality of soldier of the guerrillas, the Chashmonaim, overpowering the Eichus, the incredible power and number of the Seleucid Greek army. Both miracles were orchestrated with the concept of quality, the Eichus overpowering the quantity. This is what, according to Rav Chaim, was the purpose of the Pach Shemen, to teach us how the military victory was accomplished as well. And the Alanisa, when you read through it, you're able to see this with your own eyes. So Rav Chaim's Einikol, my Rebbe, Yosef Dov Soloveitch, says, if that's the case, the actual lighting of the menorah itself, teaching us quality over powers, quantity, and all different types of directions, was, in fact, an intrinsic factor in both the military victory as well as the Pach Shemen victory. It was a continuation, one of the other, a disclosure from the Pach Shemen, what was the nature of the military victory. So really, it's really one combined miracle where the Shemen gives us light to how to understand the military victory as well.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
There's a question which Rav Soloveitchik brings up in the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik's father, whose name was also Rav Yosef Halevi Soloveitchik. He's called the Beis Halevi, who wants to show that the Pach Shemen miracle was in actuality a very extraneous miracle. Why? Because if they didn't find any pure oil, they could have basically, according to what the Gemara says in many places, when you're doing a avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, and you don't have any pure substances to do the avoda with, tumah dechuyv hutar betziva, the tumah is eradicated. You can do it in contamination if you have no choice. That's a divine concept given to us through Torah Shabbat Be'er, interpreting Torah Shabbat Ksav. So if they didn't find any pure Shemen, they could have relit the menorah anyway. What the Beis HaLevi says is that even with the Pach Shemen itself, which they did find, they could have made the Shemen to last 8 days without God intervening to perform a miracle. How? The wicks that they used in the menorah were gauged in their thickness to work with the amount of oil you put in those containers, that the wick's thickness should be thick enough to use up all the oil in that containers in 24 hours. Says the Beis HaLevi, Rav Chaim's father and my dear Rebbe's great-grandfather, if they wanted to preserve this oil for 8 days, they had another easy way of doing it without miracles. Take the thick wick and thin it down to 1/8 of its size. If it's 1/8 of thickness, the amount of oil that it draws out of the oil in the menorah will be 1/8 of the quantity of oil it normally would draw with a thick wick. You could therefore have less oil being drawn by the wick, extending the oil for an 8-day period without any divine miracle, and by the 8th have the ability to purify ourselves and produce brand new oil to last from that point on. There was no need of a miracle. It could have been done by derech hateva of us merely thinning out the wick and using only 1/8 of the wick to draw less oil and let it last for an 8-day period. Why in the world didn't they do that? They only found one Pach Shemen. They realized they couldn't produce pure oil until 8 days later. Why, in fact, didn't they do it? So now we come to the major yesod of my Rebbe Rosalevichik and his father, Rab Chaim, and ultimately the Alter Zeder, the great-grandfather of the Beis Halevi. This is what they point out. When Klal Yisrael wanted to rededicate the Beis Hamikdash after the contamination of the Seleucid Greeks for a good period of time, and they were purifying the Beis Hamikdash every way they possibly can, they were desirous that if they're going to start an avoda in the Beis Hamikdash, whatever avoda it might be, to try to start the beginning, the chinuch, the orientation of this avoda, in the most purified fashion you possibly can, to set the tone of avodas Hamikdash being done in the most pure level you possibly could, in doing the divine will of God to have this avoda done in His holy temple on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They therefore went crazy to try to find pure oil to start the chinuch of the menorah, the beginning orientation of the new menorah, with as pure oil as they possibly could, and thank God they found that, okay? But they wanted not only to find pure oil, but they wanted the lighting of the oil to also be as beautified as not only tahar in purity, but the quality of the flame should be as powerful as the flame usually was when you have plenty of oil for each and every day separately. They wanted to do the lighting in a mahudadika way, in a beautified fashion, in a purified fashion, in a quantitative fashion, that the light coming out with a thick wick should be on day one, the way you light the menorah when you didn't have a limitation of oil. They were not expecting for this to last for 8 days. They realized after day one, there wouldn't be any oil left, but derech ha-teva, they would have to use tamidika oil. But they wanted the first day, the inauguration, to be in a state of hiddur. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw in Shemayim how these chashmonoyim and the kohanim of that time had such a cheshek and desire to do things in a state of purity, of tahara, on every level you possibly can. And not only the actual burning should be done with oil of tahara, of purity, but the way the oil burns with the wick should be in a hidurdik way to show God a love, a chavivis, of doing the mitzvah, relighting the menorah again, for the first time after you built a brand new menorah to show our praise and our tefillos and our love for Hashem and love for His mitzvos, the desire for us to mahadr to do mitzvos was what took note in Hashem's mind, and Hashem therefore responded in kind and said, "My kindalach, you love doing mitzvos in a format of hider mitzvos, a keli van vehu. And you're going crazy to find pure oil to relight the menorah now, the new menorah with pure oil. And you're using a thick wick because you want to do the mitzvah in a state of hiddur. I'm going to allow a miracle to take place that the thick wick that you have with a limited amount of oil, despite that, will be lit for 8 days straight with the same power of the flame on that wick you have on day one, the hiddur, will be 8 days of hiddur mitzvah by me making the miracle how the oil is going to burn only down by 1/8, not by the whole thing, even though the wick is as thick as it is on day one, could have basically used up all of the oil. It didn't, only diminished it by 1/8. So all 8 days, the mitzvah should be done in tahara and with a hider form of flame to show how I accept your cheshek to do mitzvahs in a state of kedusha v'tahara. That's how I appreciate your Avedis Hashem. We therefore see Rav Soloveitchik says, my Rebbe following his Zeda and Alter Zeda, that the burning of the actual oil itself, where they had a cheshek to do it in Tahara with a hider format of the flame, they emphasized the echos, the quality of what they're doing. The quality of the oil has to be pure, 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 tahar, legamri. The quality of the wick has to be as thick as possible, like we have in a normal Beis HaMikdash situation, where the flame that's created is a magnificent flame. When Hashem saw that their miracle, as we have depicted in the Alanisim, was quality over quantity, Hashem made a miracle in the Ner Chanukah, in that time the burning of the oil in the Beis HaMikdash, where the quality itself would overpower the quantity, and therefore it would produce a Hider Mitzvah lighting with the purest oil, even with the most magnificent wick, as thick as it might be, with a burning flame of the same quality, lasting for a period of mamish 8 days. Super miraculous. But their cheshek to do the mitzvah, a Hider Mitzvah, is what Hashem saw, and the miracle is based upon their desire for doing things behidah b'tahara. They emphasize the importance of eichas, quality. They themselves, the kohanim, as I mentioned, the fighters, were the personification of the concept of eichus, as I mentioned last week as well. They were tahorim. They were tzaddikim. They were oiske serasecha. The whole miracle of Chanukah, of who did the actual miracle of Chanukah, who fought the battle. Those who relit the menorah, made the menorah, and put the oil in the wicken. This was done by people who are tahirim, tzaddikim, oiske serasecha, doing mitzvahs in a state of tahara v'kedusha, on a level that literally shows you their desire for doing mitzvahs on an eichas that's simply incomparable. This is their cheshek, when mechanech, the Beis HaMikdash, and the burning of the menorah, in a chinuch of tahara v'kedusha, maximum eichas. The Yom Tov represents maximum eichas in every aspect. In the menorah's lighting, the shemen used, the wicks used, and the fighters who fought the battle, it shows us that the power of Kedusha Vatara and the eichas of Klal Yisrael as a nation, and the eichas of the quality of the materials used to praise Hashem and do mitzvahs, is appreciated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chvodo u'b'yatzmo, and in honor of their cheshed do a mitzvah mehuderes, he allowed a miracle to be performed where the mitzvah was kept intact for 8 days straight based upon how the miracle took place, as I described last week and mentioned Bekitzer a couple of minutes ago in my presentation. Rav Soloveitchik said that's the reason, my Rebbe said, that Hider Mitzvah to Ner Chanukah is not an extrinsic concept, just Keli Zakeli V'Avehu, but it describes the entire miracle, the essence of the miracle, of how the battle was won, of how the pure oil was found. They searched for it until they found one flask untouched, using a thick wick to make the beauty of the menorah to shine and burn with the brilliance it has normally when you have plenty of materials, plenty of oil available. Everything about the Chanukah, the battle plus the burning of the menorah, was a manifestation of Hider Mitzvah. Quality, spiritual quality. This is what is the essence of the miracle of Chanukah. So therefore, Rav Soloveitchik says, when the Rambam talks about the lighting of Ner Chanukah, we're not just lighting candles over here or lighting oil to say a miracle took place when it comes to lighting the menorah. That's not really what we're doing. We're explaining by the way we light the menorah and light the Chanukah licht. By doing it, mahadrim, 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 we're telling the world what brought about the miracle of Ner Chanukah was the aspiration of Klal Yisrael to do things in a mehudadik way, to embellish it with Kedusha v'tahara and beauty. Therefore, our Soloveitchik says, in the mitzvah Ner Chanukah of this Yom Tov, Hider became an intrinsic part, because that's the reason the whole miracle ultimately took place. They didn't want to use kulas of tuma being the chuya hutter b'tzibor. They didn't want to use kulas of giving a very, very small little thin wick to preserve the oil. They wanted to do things in Kedusha b'tahara hider mitzvah. So when you light the menorah on the Yom Tov of Chanukah, it tells us, look at the miracle, as the Rambam says, the essence of the miracle. The Hidr, desire of Klaus to Mrs. Mahudagim, Mitari Kedusha, is what caused the miracles of the Nitzach Melchama and the Pachshemit to take place. The lighting of the candles, the more lights you light, and since that represents the essence of the miracle, is intrinsic, it gives Shevik to Hashem as if he's saying Hallel. It gives Haidot to Hashem as if you're reciting Alanisim. The actual lighting gives us the essence of how this whole miracle took place and why the miracle was orchestrated the way it was by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To emphasize the Eichus of Klal Yisrael. Hashem says many times in the Torah, Atem at michol ha'amin, you're the smallest nation on the face of this earth. But as small as you are, your spiritual powers and your physical powers are unlimited. They're lamayla mederech hateva, they're supernatural, they supersede natural law. Because we're judged based upon our eichas, our quality of purity, spirituality. That's how we're judged. That's how Hashem activates all the miracles He does for us, both open miracles and hidden miracles. It's the quality of the Jewish people for which Hashem chose us initially from all the nations on the face of this earth. We're a unique nation, and I'm Segula, and I'm Hanivchar. We were picked because of our unique characteristics, because of a desire to fill Hashem's divine will, and following the lead of Avraham, Yisrael, Yaakov, and Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah, the Mos of Klais and the Avais. All of them had a tremendous chavivus for Hashem, love for Hashem, and a chavivus to do mitzvahs, even mitzvahs I pointed out a couple of weeks ago, they're not mechuyev to do, because they didn't become Klais until later on to Matan Torah. That's when Tayyag mitzvahs was given to them as an obligation. But that didn't stop the Avos Imos and their children from wanting Hashem to reveal to them what the Torah is going to be, what Tariq mitzvahs are. To do the mitzvahs up until Matan Torah is the Einu Mitzvah Va'isa of Kol Tariq mitzvahs, as Rashi quotes the declaration of Yaakov, Im Lovin Gati V'Tariq mitzvah Shamarti. They wanted to do all mitzvahs. They wanted the Medaktek mitzvahs to show the love of God and loving doing Hashem's divine commandments. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Yoma, they did not only the Beraisas, they did the Rabbanans as well. All of this demonstrates that the power of Klal Yisrael is not the quantity of people we have fighting our wars, or the quantity of Klal Yisrael as a nation when it comes to other nations on the face of this earth. We're the smallest nation, Atem Hamat Michol Amim. But that is not where our source of power is or is not. The fact our small numbers are able to accomplish the accomplishments we've done for thousands of years and we're able to sustain ourselves and maintain ourselves against all odds. And Shabbat David, the Oyman Lemon Chalas saying, the Kharishbacham, I still enemy Adam. Why does Hashem want to preserve us? Because we are a quality people. Going back to the Avos, continuing at Hayom Hazeh. For us, quality, spiritual purity, endearment of mitzvahs in our eyes by doing them in the most beautified fashion possible, not looking for shortcuts, but making a magnificent, beautiful Sefer Torah and buying a beautiful Dalet Minim, making incredible sukkahs, building magnificent Bate Knesio shuls, building an incredible, magnificent Beis HaMikdash. The Chazal said the second Beis HaMikdash, no holy temple in the world was ever built with the magnificence, as you saw in the magnificence of beauty that you had in the second Beis HaMikdash that existed towards the middle, towards the end of Bayis Sheni itself. All of this was a Hidur Mitzvah. It showed our aspirations to worship Hashem in the most purified, spiritually beautiful way we possibly could. That, Rav Soloveitchik says, is the real secret of the Nitzachin of the Yom Tov of Chanukah. The warfare itself, the warriors who fought the war, and subsequently the purification of the Beis HaMikdash, and the lighting of the menorah in the most purest way possible, with the greatest hiddur mitzvah, the accentuation of the echus of Klal Yisrael, not the commas, the numbers, but the echus, is what brought this miracle to fore. And when Hashem saw what we did and we tried to do, He gave us the Siyata Deshmaya, Habola Tar Matayah Masayino. So when you try to be Matayah yourself, Hashem gives us divine assistance to accomplish our aspirations of Kedusha V'Tara and Hidur Mitzvah. That's exactly what Hashem did over here. And Achazal point out something quite interesting. One of the miracles that Klal Yisrael had in the Beis HaMikdash, when everything was going good, everybody was Shema Teiru V'Mitzvahs, is that of the Neros that were put in every day in the Beis HaMikdash, there was a Ner HaMaravi, a Western lamp. And this Ner HaMaravi, even though it should have lasted only 24 hours, as the amount of Shemen put into it with everything else, the Ner HaMaravi burnt and burnt and burnt continually as a Ner Tamid, in the years of Torah observance and Shmiras Ratzon Hashem. It showed by having a Ner Tamid quality, never going out by itself, that the Shechina is Shruya in Klal Yisrael. God's divine presence is with us continuously. When we're there for Shema Teirah V'Mitzvos, the Shechina is in our midst, and the Ner Tamid of the menorah burns with a continual flame. It doesn't become extinguished like the other candles in the menorah, to represent the Shechina of Hashem is in our midst. When Klal Yisrael sinned, when it came, Rachman Letzlan, to the unfortunate Hellenization of Eretz Israel, when the Greeks came in, that Ner Tamid of the menorah went out. When they now relit the menorah once again anew, with a new menorah, new wicks, and new oil, Hashem gave us for 8 days, once again a Ner Tamid, where all the lights of the entire menorah, not only the Ner Maharavi, but all 7 lights of the menorah, burned for 24 hours for 7 days, one after another, without extinguishing themselves, to be a super Ner Tamid, to show that when Klal Yisrael does the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Shechina is with us continuously, Yom V'Laila, and the Shmira, Hashem's watching us, and protecting us, and saving us, and energizing us, and fulfilling His promises towards us in the Torah, in every dimension. That's because of who Klal Yisrael is based upon, our quality of being Tahorim, Kedoshim, Oskei Serasecha, people who pride themselves that they do mitzvahs in a state of chiba and love, and we demonstrate it by doing mitzvahs in a mehudadika way, embellishing them with hiddur mitzvah. This is the message of the Yom Tov of Hanukkah. We want to show Hashem, Avat Hashem, and Chazal say, At Hashem b'chol, Moedech b'chol mamoncha. Use our monies to beautify the mitzvahs we do for Hashem in every fashion. This is what Klal Yisrael is all about. We love Hashem with our entire soul, sacrificing ourselves for Hashem. We love Hashem with our entire hearts. Every part of our personality is geared to a manifestation of love of Hashem, b'chol levavcha, with all our inclinations geared to avodas Hashem. And every part of the financial substance we have in this world, we give the best and finest in observance of Torah mitzvahs to show us Hashem our love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our love for Torah mitzvahs, and our realization that the essence of our zuchus kiyum, our ability to survive against all odds, is our desire to do mitzvahs, the hiddur mitzvah. This is what it's all about. This is what Chanukah is all about. This is the Chiddush which my Rebbe or Soloveitchik said, built upon the lumdus of his Zayd, the Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, built upon his great-grandfather, the Beis HaLevi, This is what keeps Klal Yisrael going and is going to keep us going. At peace, Mashiach Tzidkenu, Amen v'Amen. Thank you for listening, coming today. Have a lichtike Chanukah, a beautified Chanukah, simchadike Chanukah, u'lashon haba b'yishlaim habanuya, with once again rebuilding the Beis HaMikdash, manufacturing a brand new menorah with lichtekeit, with beautiful wicks and oil, to show the desire for hit the mitzvah of Klal Yisrael till time of eternity.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.